Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have today to worship you, to declare your goodness, your mercy, commune with you, partake fellowship with you by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just set our hearts now to receive. Father, I pray that our eyes be open to see the revelation that will be presented today. Let the word penetrate our heart to bring change, to make us more like you. Father, our desire, we confess as we sang it today, is for more of you. And I thank you that more will come by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We can be seated. We're going to go to the epistle to the Ephesians. It was written by the Apostle Paul. And we start at verse 3. The last time I just shared verse 3. So I'll just reread it and go down, because there's a continuous flow through this chapter. And I remember once I took a course on like how reading levels are determined. And it's kind of interesting. You know, I'm not an English teacher or language person, but the way they compute your reading level, and Janet, you would know this, you teach this, the way they compute that's the number of words in a sentence in a paragraph, and how many syllables average are in words. So obviously, if you have big words, well, that makes it a harder reading level. And when you have sentences that are connected, you're connecting thought upon thought upon thought, it's a harder reading level. So I remember the guy instructing us said how the like a newspaper was written at, I think, a fifth grade reading level. And he had different things they were looking at. And certain books and things would be at a much higher reading level because there were a lot of words, big words or sentences strung together, connected. And what you have to do with something that's of a higher reading level, you have to be able to retain thought by thought to connect it all. And this is a reason why sometimes people feel the Bible is hard to understand. It's because it's written, some things are written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost at a very high reading level. And in studying, you start looking at each word and then the sentence and how they're connected and what's the overall thought. And there's a little bit of a work involved to that. Now, I like that. I couldn't tell. I like that. And, you know, people have different strengths when it comes to academics. Like, you know, one person's very artistic and creative, another one's hands-on. I like to read. And it's important to learn to read whether you like it or not. And to try to increase whatever avenue of learning that we're involved with, to try to increase. And the reason, like I was saying, that this seems hard to understand is because there's a number of verses that are just connected by compound words. So if you have a word like and therefore and wherefore, you have to retain the previous thought while you're looking at a new thought and then be able to add it to it. And you have to keep doing that the whole way to the end of the thought. And that's the reason why a lot of people struggle. Now, I study out of the King James for a reason. It's the only translation that was translated directly out of the Greek and Hebrew. So you had other versions come along where they're making another English version out of this English version. Now, what most people don't understand is that 15% of the words must be changed or you're in copyright violation. So a lot of these other versions, it's not for accuracy. It's so they can present a product and not be violating, you know, the law, which they could be in big trouble for that. So I don't advocate other versions that read more simple. It's okay if you read that, but sometimes people get hung up on certain words in the Old English. But we have to understand that those words are direct translation out of the Greek and Hebrew. And the English language is not a good language for interpretation because there's all these exceptions to it. Some languages are a lot easier to learn, like Spanish, for example. And some are very hard. Now, I've heard, like, Russian's very hard. Because you try to communicate with them, and you think you heard what they said, and you try to say it back. And it's like, and they're like, no. Those are what you just said. English is that way for a lot of other people, because all the exceptions. So there's all these myriad of languages. I find it rather fascinating. And as far as spiritual understanding, though, we have to look at how it was originally written. So that's why I'm always quoting the Greek and Hebrew words, looking them up, and stating that to you. Some other versions I don't think are very good because they change words for the sake of changing words, and they actually change the meaning. It goes over people's heads. Like, that's easier to read. Okay, I wouldn't plan on saying any of that, but that's for whoever that helps. Verse 3, now Ephesians 1 is just one verse or sentence after another is connected. So what has to be done is the linking it all together. Retain a thought, add a thought. Retain a thought, add a thought. You know, if someone reads a novel, and let's say it's a whodunit novel, you know, who committed the murder or whatever, you have to retain all these things that were stated previously, retain them as you're reading forward, and then that piece at the end makes sense. That's how that works. And it's kind of interesting. I know when Jesse took the ASVAB test, he scored in the 95th percentile of everyone that took it in the previous 25 years. So then they score you on that. This is for the Army. And he was shocked. He said, "Dad, I don't know how that happened. I thought it'd be like 60th percentile or something." And he was the 95th. I said, "Jesse, it's because you're a reader. You're a reader." And he'd read for fun. And whether it be like a Christian novel or a CEO stock report or whatever, you know, he'd read all that. So he trained himself to retain and go forward, retain and go forward, retain and go forward, because the object there is to figure out the mystery. That's the objective in that. And what the Army wanted, who they'd pegged for leaders, was who can solve the problem. Because you have to accumulate information and put it together and solve a problem. So they were always after him for leadership because of that, and he ended up in the drone program and was a commander in that in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we start. So I'm just setting a little foundation for you. The reason why I'm going to be sharing from the Ephesian epistle, and Brother Allen's been sharing in a Bible study in the Ephesians 6 on the armor of God and prayer and staying in the spirit and all these things. The reason I'm sharing this, what I'm going to share with you over however many weeks it takes, is that there is a great onslaught of the enemy right now. We're in the end of the end times. And the Bible says it's going to wax, evil will wax worse and worse. And right up to when the Antichrist is released, which will be preceded by the rapture, because the church, according to 2 Thessalonians, is that which hinders the devil. You are a hindrance. But you're a good hindrance. You're a hindrance to evil. So when we're taken out of the way by God, then the devil can have his whole free-for-all. But until that time, he knows you're his enemy. He's going to attack you. We just need to know who's our enemy and attack him, his kingdom. The people are not the enemy. It's the devils who blind the people and motivate them and possibly possess some people. So there's where I'm going with this is that the Ephesian epistle, along with other verses, really brings a revelation of the church. Revelation of the church. And what Jesus said, and I shared this a few weeks ago, that Jesus is building his church on a rock of the revelation of who he is. Our life's in him. We have victory through him. And they said the gates of hell shall not prevail. And over the last 2,000 years, there's been a great deal of persecution in the world. Not so much here. I mean, we're seeing it pop up here now, but people murdered and killed. Millions and millions and millions. You know, people will talk about what Hitler did, but Stalin and Mao Zedong killed, they say, like 60, 80 million people of their own. It was mainly, it was like the Christians or people acknowledging, and Jews, acknowledging the Word of God and the ways of God. And I'd share with you a few weeks back that Revelation chapter 12, it states there that after the woman, Israel, brought forth the man-child, Jesus, Satan began to attack the woman, but God dispersed Israel throughout the earth to protect them. Yes. And then his sights were set on the seed of the woman, which is the church, and his attacks were focused there. Now, here at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So he's praising, giving praise to God. Blessed be the God and Father for what he did. He has already blessed us. All spiritual blessings are all already given to us. We don't have to beg for them or plead or something like that. It's already been done for us through the work of Jesus Christ. And the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, we need to take note of that. The spiritual blessings, it really has to do with having a relationship with God, being accepted by him, loved by him, and that he gives us access to his kingdom. In having access, we can approach the throne and petition God for that which he's provided for us. So that's primary spiritual blessing. Now, in the New Testament, it mentions in various places two gifts that are unique to the New Testament that are not in the Old. The first is a gift of the Holy Ghost, who's our helper, our teacher, our comforter. We have access to God by the Holy Ghost, and the second is the gift of righteousness. Because with condemnation, we can't come before the throne. But his gift of righteousness, and it's a gift. You don't work for it, or you're not enough of a good boy to get it. But he gives it to us, and we receive that by faith. And therefore, our conscience is purified, and we can approach the throne of God. And this is the revelation really borne out in the Hebrew epistle, that because he was talking there to a persecuted people. And basically what he's saying, if you understand Jesus as your high priest and what that means, that you can come before the Father in the name of Jesus, you can receive what you need. If you understand that, you don't have to be so bothered and worried about all the stuff going on around you, the evil going around you. You don't have to be overwhelmed with that, because you can come before the throne. Now, it's incumbent upon us to take the initiative to do that, and that's why you're here. To do that, you know, no one can do that for you. You have to, you know, do that. But the more you grow in the understanding of it, you can't wait to do that throughout your day. So we have all spiritual blessings, which opens us up to the blessings in the natural realm as well. The spiritual blessings, the Holy Spirit and righteousness, but with that, the access gives us access to the fruit of the Spirit, or the kingdom of God, is another way it can be said. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. That's available to us to partake of, like you're eating food. You're eating an apple. Well, your body will process that, utilize it, and you're going to have to eat again. So it's like that. You know, we have to partake of it and receive it, but it's not like a once and done thing. I eat every day. I don't know about you. And you know, your body needs that, and the realm of the Spirit is the same. Now, I could have food in the refrigerator, or it's down at the grocery store, but if I don't get it, prepare it, consume it, it doesn't do me any good. You know, just to have a freezer full of food, you don't know how to cook, it doesn't do you much good. But we have available to us all these blessings. Now, verse 4, there's a word I want to emphasize somewhat here in this lesson. According as he hath chosen us. Now, that word's used 3 or 4 times in this chapter. And it's very important we understand that. And I'll begin to explain that. According to understand it, is that there's a flow proceeding from a source. And the best way that I know to explain that word is, I remember being a part of a hunting camp, my father and Gary's family and some different relatives of ours were in this hunting camp. And if you drive out the Pennsylvania mountains and you go out the where they're all peaked, drive out through, there's a road up there. But the whole way down the mountains is all forest. And the only way you're getting through there is walking. You know, the camps are up on the high ground at the top. And there's a spring house, a spring outside of the camp. So we had running water. I say it this way, 2 buckets and a pair of boots. Because you had to walk out to the spring house and get the water. But it was always flowing. Always flowing. And the spring would run down the mountainside. And then other springs going down would run into that. And other springs run into that. Until it got down, it was 5 or 6 mile walk from the camp down the mountains to the west branch of the Susquehanna River. And I walked that before, just wanted to see the river up there. And it, you know, take a little while, more so going back because you're walking uphill up the mountains. But there'd be more and more streams feed in to where I started was just a spring in the high ground, a water spring up there. And the little springs become a brook, become a creek, and it goes the whole way down, and it empties into the river. And the whole way down, and this west branch, I don't know how many miles that runs, till it gets up where it's like Williamsport, coming straight down here towards Harrisburg and Wrightsville. But it keeps picking up more and more water. The Juniata River runs into it up above Harrisburg. So down here, there's water over a mile wide. The river water is over a mile. If you go across the bridge, I think it's about 1.3 miles to drive over the bridge, over the water. And it's just, you could see a mighty river, but that all starts up in those mountains. Just a little spring. You know, a little spring in the mountains, you kind of dig it out. Maybe put some bricks around there and so that you can dip your bucket down in. And it's not a lot of water there, but it's constant flow. It's always flowing. That's according. When something's according to something, it's flowed out from another source. And sometimes in life, you have to get to the source of everything. Source of sin, source of blessing, source of love. You have to be able to find the source to understand it. If you don't identify the source, you do not have the means to fully understand. So I'm going to be sharing these sources with you with the intent that your understanding is going to rise to a higher level. It's like water. It's going to rise. And that's valuable. Because a lot of Christians, and I remember as a young believer when I was really turned on to the Word, I was just reading the Word just whenever I could. I had some books like Kenneth Hagin and some of these teachers, and I'd read them like 30 times in a row. I read each page like 30 times. And then I go to another page and read, leaving for the spiritual understanding to come, to grow inside of me. Yeah, it's not a matter of you read it once. Yeah, I know that. Well, if you say that, you're telling me you absolutely don't know. Yeah, I've heard that before. I know that. You see, with understanding, there's an eternal depth we can go into. And Ephesians chapter 3, that's part of the prayer Paul's praying there, that we would understand the height, the length, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. So you'll be doing that the rest of your life, or should be doing that. You should be doing that the rest of your life, to go deeper in Him. You could have water and it's just like a little puddle. You can't do much with that little puddle. But if you can tap into a river, or even, it's kind of funny, people in different parts of the country call these things differently. My friends that lived in the Midwest, they would call something like Muddy Creek a river. Yeah, because I'd drive down those areas and show them, well, yeah, it's a cool place to go for a walk here. And that's a river. I said, no, that's a creek. I'll show you a river. That river is a mile wide and runs power plants. Muddy Creek doesn't run any power plants. But it's a moving body of water. It's just a lesser amount. Okay. According, now the blessings we have is according to something. It flows out of, as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now I'll stop here for a moment. What we begin to see in Ephesians chapter 1 is the plan of God. And we're going to see here that the things that are in motion and done and what He wants is according to His plan. You've been chosen in Him according to His purpose. We are as adopted children, predestinated. God planned we would be adopted children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He planned it. God didn't make man and then have like an accident. Whoops, there's a devil there. No, He had a plan. And I'll expound on this as we go here. But we have to understand this. There are many Christians who are taught wrongly and enter into bad doctrine. Because in their mind, they'll think, well, God planned. God's not helping me. I guess He must have planned me to break my leg or whatever, you know. And that's wrong doctrine. God's not out to hurt you. But He wants you to become part of His family, born of God, born of Him, and to come into a place where you know Him and can fellowship with Him. That's what makes you different from the angels. The angels who were in heaven in origin, they saw all the glory of God. But they did not know love. How can you do that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 spells it out pretty clear. That the angels desire to look into the things that we see. See, the angels that are still in heaven, they don't need any forgiveness. All the ones that fell and followed Satan, which was one third of them, they all lost the presence of God, and there's no return because they are highly accountable. They were in His presence in heaven. But God put man here on the earth and cast Satan down because it was necessary. Now, listen closely to this, because this can trip people sometimes in how they're thinking. God knew that man had to fall in sin. Sin separates you from God. Any level of sin, any amount of it, will separate you from God or fellowship with God or tapping in, partaking of life. But God knew we could not understand love, grace, mercy, forgiveness without having been separated. We know what it is to be separated, which is spiritual death, and eventually lead to physical death. We know what it is to be separated. Therefore, we can see that the way made back to Him was through the death of Jesus Christ, who was the only perfect one, the sacrificial Lamb of God, to redeem us. And in that, and in that alone, we understand love. In the death of Christ, that's the only way you understand it. It's not by anything you do. Now, you could walk in love, but you don't understand it by your own actions or by somebody else. It's by the death of Jesus Christ, the work. And it was part of the Father's plan. It was His plan to send Jesus. It wasn't plan B. He only had one plan. And in Jesus, God so loved the world, He gave. Jesus loved us and laid down His life. See, that's how we understand the love of God. Really, it should be satisfactory to our spirit man to read like John 3:16 every day of our life. Because what the Holy Spirit will do if your heart's open is take you deeper in love. Now, what we have to understand is what God was after in creating man. He was after something. He had a reason to do it. What he's after was to have a people, a family, who've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, to have a family who would know him. And he is love above everything else. The various scriptures clearly state that. He is love above everything else. And what he's after is a people that know him in love. Now, what man's after is a nice life in the physical, natural realm. The natural man's after, however he perceives it, a blessed life in the natural. But the spiritual man that would understand what I'm sharing with you would want to know love above everything else. Now, it's interesting. You can talk to people and say, well, do you have any goals? Do you have? And they'll say, oh, yeah, I want to make this money or have this thing or get this fame and recognition. And all of that lays a groundwork for pride, which was Satan's sin. Satan wanted to ascend to the heights of heaven. He wanted to be greater than God, which was what took him down. So you either follow God's plan or you follow Satan's plan, knowingly or unknowingly. But as we get understanding from the Word, we can begin to get on the track or the course that God has laid before us and lay hold of all these spiritual blessings. So he wants us to be holy without blame. Or in other words, he would make us righteous that we can stand before him and with him. Having predestinated, or that means pre-planned, that we would be adopted children. Now, some children are adopted, and you have those that are born of your seed. If, when you bear a child, you don't get to pick. They are what they are. Usually they'll have a lot of similarities to you, but you're not picking them. But an adopted child, if someone's looking for adoption, they're looking and saying, oh, okay, I'm going to choose one. I'll choose that one. I like how he smiles at me. Now, the closest thing, we've never adopted children, but we've adopted dogs. And as our babies, like 6, 8 weeks old. And it's kind of a funny thing. You know, people, they're looking for something in the dog. So it might be like they're real playful or they want to cuddle up with you or what have you. But you make a choice. And that's a greater thing than just, okay, you're just born here and take it or leave it. Well, you know, you need to take it, not leave it. But an adopted child, if they see it right, can feel really, really special. I was chosen. Chosen by the Heavenly Father. And access to his kingdom, to his family, came through Jesus. It says, according to, now there that word is again, the good pleasure of his will. This was God's pleasure to do this. It's his pleasure. The whole plan's to his pleasure. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Now you kind of have to really focus on that to grasp. To the praise or the exaltation of the glory of his grace. We talk about the grace of God, and later in the epistle, we'll look at that specifically. But God's favor to us, His favor and His ability to transform us. That's a glorious thing. Wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. If man accepts you or doesn't, you could know I'm accepted by God. Here's an old song that used to be sung at revival meetings and evangelistic meetings. Just as I am without one plea. Did you ever hear that one? I just popped into my mouth and, oh, that's going back to probably 100 years ago or more. And I wasn't alive then, but I heard the song sung a lot. And He's accepted us. If you have rejection issues, and there's a lot of people that hurt and pain in their life. Maybe they felt rejected by their parents or siblings or society in general. Rejection's a very tormenting thing to people. And they build a fear of rejection. And are afraid to do things because, well, I might be rejected. Well, you will be by some people. And you'll be celebrated by others. But all that's not really here nor there. Your Father accepts you just as you are. In all of your sin, on your worst day in life, He accepts you if you come to Him. Sometimes people, and not understanding this, they feel unworthy. So they're standing before God with blame, and not without blame, holy without blame, but feeling that condemnation. And they struggle all the time. And maybe some of you still deal with that. This verse can set you free. This verse can set you free. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according, there it is again, to the riches of His grace. That forgiveness you receive is not according to how good you were last week. It's not according to your life's compilation of works. It's according to or flows out from the riches or abundance of the grace of God. And we can understand His grace. We can understand that. We can understand that forgiveness. In those things we see His love to us, which is the greatest foundation of your life. And it's the thing the Father's after. He's after. That's what He's looking for. Wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What God's plan is the greatest wisdom that there is. He knew He would have to fall and be separated before our eyes could be open to see the greatness of His love. And again, that makes you different than the angels. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and earth, even in Him. In whom we obtained an inheritance. You know, you've inherited blessings. You didn't earn them. You inherit them. Inheritance is you receive something as a result of the death of someone else. As a result of the death of Jesus Christ, you're in a position to receive an inheritance, all spiritual blessing. According to, there it is again. According to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. So again, it's according to something, His purpose. To propagate forward in life, we must learn to look for the purpose of God for our life and where we're at. The purposes of God don't just happen. You know, you receive them by faith, you pursue Him, you pursue love, and begin to step into those things more and more. He has a purpose for your life. Every human being, especially like you guys' age. Every human being wants to know, what's my purpose in life? Why am I here? And for some people, as years go by, it plagues their mind. Because as you see the horrors and suffering around us, you think, well, what's the purpose in all this? And many people then begin to exalt their own thinking and adopt wrong doctrines. This has all been all over the world through history. It doesn't have to be for you, but people do that. And they come up with this bad doctrine, well, God just wants you to learn something or whatever. And they'll act like he's responsible for everything that happens. There's God, there's devils, and there's people. And then there's you. And you have to be able to discern where whatever you're struggling with is coming from. Again, it's back to the according to, back to the source. Where are these things coming from? And then as we look at it through the eyes of the Lord, we can have a proper understanding of how to deal with it. How to flow from that to God's purpose in moving forward. He works all things according to his purpose. Well, I already stated his purpose. Have a family and fellowship with him. We have a people that know him. He is love. Many times in Paul's writings, he'd say, I just want to know him. I just want to know him. Well, he's not talking about the street address in heaven. It's the character of God. Because he had a revelation of him. And the more he understood, the more he wanted. The more he was absorbed in the everything of Christ and of the Father, he wanted to go deeper into it. Now, at this point, I want to venture over to Romans chapter 8. Because to understand this, this is some other important scriptures. Romans 8:18. Did you know Paul was a Southerner? For I reckon, that just means I count, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Just look at that statement there. The sufferings of this present time. Now, Paul himself had suffered great persecution. He was even killed and raised back from the dead. He had suffered beatings, and he recounts that in the book of 2 Corinthians. The sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's intent is to reveal his glory through your life. That's why you're here. Two things, actually. To know God more, to know him, and then to be a conduit where his glory, which would be all that he is, be revealed to those around you through you. That you're a living revelation of it, and that you're knowing him more. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. People in this world know, I'm talking about unsaved people, they know there's something more to life, but they can't find it. I was that way as a teenager. There's more, something more. And I looked in this way and that way and this way and that way, and it was never to be found. In all the places that the natural carnal man will look, he never finds it. People, as they go through the years, they end up getting hard and bitter because that which in their spirit, God put it in them to desire to know these things, to know the glory of God, but it's always elusive to them. Now, the problem is their pride, their unbelief, keeps them from receiving. So they don't know where they're going to find the life of God. See, that's our job. We are to manifest the life of God, and a world then can see. It's not about preaching at people. It's showing them love, joy, peace, the kingdom you've partaken of. If you don't partake of that, there's not much. You know, the people of the world will say, well, you're no different than I am. But as you manifest the character of God, they'll notice. In fact, I remember getting saved and still doing construction work. And you had some kind of rough people in the midst of that. And when they recognized you were one of these Christians, they would pick at you to test you, like prodding you. Are you for real? Are you for real? Like prodding you with a poker or some kind, or a pitchfork. And many people, they just seek to get away from all of that. How will they ever know what you know if you're getting away from them? See, sometimes getting away from what's an agitation to us, actually we're a hindrance to these other people. We're not helping them. We're really not even seeking to do what the Father's will is there. Now let me read on. For the creature, or creation, man, was made subject to vanity. Now this verse is key to understand what I was saying previously. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. In other words, the Father had a hope, and therefore he had to put us in a position where we'd be subject to vanity, or to step into the realms of pride, what Satan lives under. We didn't willingly do that. We were born with that seed in us. And as you hear the law and so forth, it waters the seed, and then you die spiritually sometime in your childhood. As far as dealing with children, they need to be hearing the word, even though you know they don't understand it yet. But the day will come, they'll die spiritually, and it'll be the cry of their still sensitive young heart for life. And they need to be led into it. This is a story for humanity. But God subjected us to that, not to punish us, torture us, break your leg, but in hope. And you see that the suffering of this time around us isn't worthy even to be compared to the glory we'll enjoy for eternity. And your life goes by like a puff of smoke. Yes. Your life's over. Most people that have lived most of their years already will say, yeah, that's right, brother, amen. Well, time goes fast. You know, my wife and I'll say our oldest son turned 40 this year, and it's like 40 years. It's like it was yesterday, you know, we just carrying that baby home. Time goes fast to us. But when you're having pain, it goes as slow as molasses. In fact, molasses in January. If you're in pain, time goes real slow. And when we're free from all that, just flows by. But we need, in order to understand walking through this life, navigating this life with all that's going around us, we have to understand the Father's purpose and intent for the way he set it up. It was a plan. It wasn't plan B. There was the plan. It says, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. The world is groaning in the sorrow that's a result of their sin. They want deliverance. They just are deceived by the devil and look in all the wrong places. The deliverance that anyone truly knows and wants is only in Jesus Christ. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits, that's talking about us now, have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, of the redemption of our body. So there's this desire in us. We know the kingdom of God. We know spiritual blessings. We know heaven. Father, I just want to be with you. There's a groan, there's a desire in you that will propel you. See, for the world, they just want to be free from all their bondage and pain and sorrow and suffering. But for us, we are free from that. We want to just be deeper in Him. He goes on in the talk about the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmity. He makes intercession with us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know the Holy Spirit groans too? The deep cry of His heart to help you. To see you free. To see you partake knowledge of the love of God. To partake the life. To be a vessel of showing forth the light of the glory of God. There's a deep groan in the Holy Spirit's heart. And in that, He's your helper in prayer. As we pray in the Spirit, we're tapping into His heartbeat. And a lot of times we don't know how to pray, but He'll give us words to pray and release the power of God. Now I want to read another verse. Psalm 63, verse 3. I love this verse. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, and lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. The loving kindness of God, which is in the word in the Hebrews, has said, which sort of encompasses English's words of love, grace, mercy, goodness, it encompasses all of that. Covenant love. The loving kindness of God is better than life. This is very important. What's the best of life to you? A day on your vacation? A sexual relationship, a steak dinner. What's the high life, you know, the best of life? What this scripture says, His loving kindness is better than anything in this natural life. And this corresponds with the Ephesian epistle and Romans. That as we understand, as we come to know the love of God in fullness, we come to understand and know that there's nothing better than that. And even though we're in the midst of a lot of trials and tests and pain and sorrow and stuff is around us, it's all around us. It's getting worse. That's the reason why I feel compelled to share this again with you. But to have access to the loving kindness of God, it's better. Better than a sunny day at the beach. Better than a fall in the mountains or whatever you like. You know, it's better than all of that. And as we see that, then we'll discontinue pursuing these natural things and pursue Him as far as the top pursuit of your life. Now, it's not wrong to do other things like this, but it shouldn't be our pursuit. because we will not have a proper perspective if it is, you'll be very inclined not to praise God at all times. You know, you don't ever praise God for what the devil's doing, or if man's sinning against you, or if your own flesh is at war with your soul. We praise God for all the things of God. And as we understand, I know the love of God. There's nothing better than this. Nothing better. You'll naturally pursue it. You don't have to be like motivated by some external force. You'll be motivated on the inside to pursue, to abide in that. And there's times like we begin learning of the love of God, but what we need to come to is that you live there. You live there. We live or abide, continue. It's all the same word in the Greek, meno. Continue, abide. That's where I live. Now, I got some good news for you that would follow some bad news. Bad news, there's going to be times you come up short. The good news, God will forgive you and wipe it clean. You don't have to carry the guilt of that around like, oh, I got mad. Well, repent. Be cleansed. You're right back in it. Through repentance and humbling ourselves, we can come right back into the love of God. But we need to do that. Don't let anything linger. Don't let stinking attitudes linger. Anger, malice, and we'll see later on in Ephesians, put aside malice and anger, partake of forgiveness, love. So it's something we need to do to keep going forward. But if you begin to allow love walk sins in your heart, you will become bitter through unforgiveness. And that'll take you down. That gives place to the devil. It says later on, chapter 4, give no place, a little bit farther on in that chapter, to put aside the anger and the malice, enter into that forgiveness in Christ. I find people that do not recognize the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus is there, moving toward them every day. It's available every day. Those who don't acknowledge that on a daily basis will start to get self-righteous. Well, I'm good. I don't need to repent. I'm good. I'm good. I remember Pastor Wayne Holcomb used to say, we'll ask your wife. Well, ask your spouse, your husband or your wife. We'll find out. Because you manifest how you are in your home. Jesus is good. God is good. He is love. His love will lift us up. Lift us up out of the muck and mire of sin. We have a place of victory over all the pain, sorrow, and suffering that's around us. We can't make it our aim to just, oh, I don't ever want to have to deal with anything. You can't do that. Because it's there. It's out there. Satan's going to test you. And when you're tested, we'll see what's in you. So that's what a test reveals, what's in you. You take a test in school. Well, do you know the history lesson we taught for the last week? Now, if you know it as a student, you're welcome to test. Bring it on, teach. You're welcome to test because you know the material. But there are some students who dread test day because they're not studying and they know they don't really know. So they're just hoping I don't get the tricky question or the harder question. And then there it is. And, oh, I got a C or whatever you got. And that's not a reflection on you. It just reflects what you know. And that's a good thing. Because then you can know, you know, I need to study up a little bit more on this over here. You know what you need to work on. So as we're tested in love, you can quickly come to realize where you fall short of the mark. And we all do. None of you have arrived in perfection yet. Jesus was perfect. So as we're continuing to be tested, we realize I need more of Him. Now, that's if you understand this. I need more of Him. But the carnal mind will say, I need to get away from the problem. I don't want to have to deal with problems. Well, then go live in a cave. And you just have your own problems. Because if there's people, there's going to be problems. And rather than saying, I'll get rid of this person or that person, we need to say, Father, what do I need from you? How is this exposing my need of more of you? Because your plan, Father, your purpose is to bring me into the depths of knowing you, knowing your love, which is through Jesus Christ's death, knowing your love, your mercy, your grace, and that I come into this place with you in fellowship, sharing from you the source according to the life of God. You see, that's the right way to look out. As I'm sharing, I believe Holy Spirit's witnessing to each and every one where you walk in these things and where you don't walk in these things, where you fall short. Don't be like the carnal man. I want the absence of all challenge, all test, all... We don't have to ask for tests. Satan will bring them. People will bring them. You don't ask for tests. But when they come, we need to look at the test through the eyes of the Father. How He's seeing it. Whether it's you need the power of God manifestation, or you need a greater measure of the love of God, being long-suffering, being humble, whatever it might be that you need. And that's for you to know about you, not anybody else. If somebody has to tell us all the time, it's probably we're not picking up on a whole lot ourselves. But the person who comes in this place of humility and our desire and focus is on the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, as we come into that place and in that realm, there's going to be continual greater flow with Him. Well, I need to stop here. I'll pick up on this more next week. I just want to pray. Father, I pray that you give everyone here the understanding of the word that I'm sharing here, that the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, brought to us. Father, help us to know that in Christ, we are overcomers, we are victorious, we are strong. We need not fear anything, for we know you. Father, your word says perfect love, cast out all fear. And Father, I pray as we step into greater realms of your love, fear shall flee away from us. Darkness shall flee away. And that we would be that people that manifest the light of the glory of God, and that we would be able to be, that you could be seen in us by the world. Lord, may our pursuits be influenced by your pursuit. May our plans be subject to your plan, Father. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.